We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. It's August 13, 2024. And as always, we thank you for listening. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Chris Woodward.
Hello.
And in Kansas City, KS, is our good friend, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I ask you sometimes, thanks for asking, I ask you sometimes give us a good word to start the show. What do you got?
Okay, today my wife and I were reading Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 9. And that's when you read those two chapters, it goes from one miracle to another. It's the fellow that's dropped down through the ceiling, and then it's the guys out there in the tombs, and then there's two guys blind. And it sort of at the end of it, it says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Here's what we're supposed to get out of that, among many other things, is if you're sick, Jesus cares about you. If you're hurting, Jesus cares about you. If you're down on your luck today, he sees you. He knows. If he's got time for two guys coming out of the tombs, he's got time for you. If he's got time for a guy lowered down through the ceiling, my friends, he's got time for you. He sees you. He hears. He cares. Maybe you feel this world has failed you. Maybe you feel like you've blown everything. Just take a good look at Jesus. He came for you. He will meet you right now, right where you are.
Ray, that's a great message because when we're healthy and everything's going fine, especially health. Health's a big one. Yeah. When everything's healthy, of course, you got other issues. You got financial issues. You got relationship issues. But when you have your health, and when your health is good, you don't really think about others necessarily that are going through the suffering of not having good health. And there's variations of health there. But when you were speaking those words or sharing that message, you've got to believe there's someone listening now that are in some form of health crisis or financial crisis. And that message obviously applies to all of us, but really meets right there for the person or the group of people that are in need of health and financially.
Well, Wesley, that's amazing, because in those two chapters, he says it's the sick who need a doctor. If you're healthy, you don't need one.
Uh-huh.
And the truth is, Wesley, we're all in trouble.
That's right. On this side of heaven, for sure.
We're all in trouble this side of heaven. So no matter who you are, Jesus is ready to meet you. And he will meet me. You just say to yourself, could he meet me while I'm listening to a radio program? Yes, he can. He will. Turn to him. Cry out to him. He will meet you right where you are.
Amen.
And what is your website, Ray, if people want to,
surf on over to keepbelieving.com. And we've got a lot of resources that will help you. You know, the great need is to know Jesus better, and that's what our website's all about. So come see us at keepbelieving.com.
All right. Again, folks, we hope you're having a good Tuesday, and we got a lot to talk about, current events, things happening in the news. And Jenna Ellis will be on with us at the bottom of the hour. You know, our purpose in these discussions we have on this show every day, although maybe it doesn't always seem like it, we're trying to put things in proper perspective in terms of the Constitution, in terms of our freedom and liberty, and our way of life that we enjoy here in the U.S. Those things matter. We're also trying to put things in a biblical worldview. context, because we believe in the God of the Bible. He does speak, and he does give us direction, each individually and corporately on how we should do to follow him, Wesley.
Wow, Dad, well done.
Yeah, that was, that's why I'm here.
It's like
you know, I try to.
That was.
I just I don't like to outshine other people, right. You know. So that's why I kind of hold back.
You know, and I hated to. I don't want to take us off, you know, on to our typical jokes.
I don't let this show go wandering.
But that was well said. That may be Adam's our producer today. Adam, we may need to find a way to make that part of the intro to the program. You know, this, you know, I know we don't like to change intros, but we could mark that one.
We've had the same intro music.
That's right.
Since we started almost with Marvin Sanders and me.
But you're right.
Back in the 90s.
You're exactly right. We try to take the things that are happening every day and to apply a biblical worldview to them. Obviously, I've learned over the years is that there are core issues, then there's a secondary, and then you got peripheral, and then some right on the edge of that. And so we try to take those. Some of the things we cover are right there, and you can, you know, a little bit of a gray area. So we have to do the best we can with the scriptures we got. But
right. Kind of like ivermectin.
Kind of like ivermectin.
It's kind of a gray area.
And then when we have a pastor or a biblical theological question, we always got Ray right there.
Amen. All right, so Chris, what's happening in our world today?
Well, here? I do want to bring people's attention to one quick thing, and then we can move into some other equally, if not more important, news. Today is a primary day in four states: Connecticut, Minnesota, Vermont, and Wisconsin. Minnesota is one that we are really watching, because Radical Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar is facing a primary challenge from Don Samuels. Don Samuels is a former Minneapolis council member who ran a very close race against Ilhan Omar back in 2022. She beat him about 2,000 votes in that 2022 Democratic primary. People are watching this race because Ilhan Omar is a member of the so-called squad, and the squad has lost two members.
Lost their treasurer and their vice president.
Right, yes. The most recent squad member to get ousted in a primary was Cori Bush of Missouri. We aired her soundbite. This time around, it does not look like AIPAC is involved in this race, AIPAC being the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, which was involved in the Cori Bush and some of the other primary efforts against squad members. But interestingly enough, Don Samuels has been getting a campaign boost from various donors after the Cori Bush loss. So
he's a Democrat too, right?
He is, yes.
But what's happened is some of these Democrat House of Representatives members that are part of the squad, they got so far left, even the Democrat Party doesn't want them anymore.
That's right. Very true.
And you got to really be bad.
And they know that pawning them off on us is not going to work.
No, they're not going to be welcome in the Republican Party.
No chance.
Or conservative. So you're saying a lot of interest will be on this particular individual House race.
Yes.
In Minneapolis, it's where the Somalis live, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
The Somali Americans, and she represents their district.
Correct.
And she's being challenged, and she may lose. Mm-hmm. She may lose? Possibility?
It's a possibility. Yeah. I don't know how likely it is.
In this case, can party platforms cross over and vote?
I don't know. I'll double check.
In Minnesota.
There's
probably not seven Republicans in her district.
That's true. You know,
it's not a statewide race.
Conservative, I meant more just generally Republic, but Republicans.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. Mm-hmm. But the squad, their meetings are, you know, getting slimmer.
They are, yes.
Because in terms of attendance, because mm-hmm. they're being taken out one by one.
Right. Jamal Bowman was the first squad member to be voted out. He's the guy that pulled the fire alarm to stop a vote.
Right.
He was defeated by an AIPAC funded
even
Democrat.
AOC rapping couldn't right. help him.
And Dan,
he was already defeated, right?
He was defeated. That was the first one to go down as far as the squad members, and then Cori Bush was the most recent.
All right, next story.
Well, Donald Trump and Elon Musk had a sit down event last night on Musk's X platform, X being the site formerly known as Twitter. And there's a lot to take away from this, but I've got some sound bites from Donald Trump, because we're only 80 some odd days until the election. And Donald Trump talked about how a lot of people in the media and in the Democratic Party have talked about how Kamala is this great leader. Vice President Kamala Harris is this great leader. And she's got all this experience, as if there's not a ton of evidence in the last three and a half years to say otherwise. So let's begin there. We got Donald Trump talking here, clip one.
Where has she been for 3.5 years? Kamala was the border czar. Now she's denying it. She's saying she was strong on the border. We're going to be strong. Well, she doesn't have to say it. She could close it up right now.
That's just one thing.
How Trump, long did they talk?
Oh.
This was on X.
Yes.
And this was, Ray, did you, are you aware this was going on?
Yeah, and I tried to get on to him, and part of the problem was it crashed in the beginning. Yeah. I tried, and it had crashed, and I tried again. And I guess eventually, after what, a 25-minute delay or something, it got on.
Here's a strange thing. Elon Musk is one of the smartest men and the wealthiest men in the world. And the things he's accomplished technologically with his companies and everything, Tesla, and then SpaceX. Is it SpaceLink or what?
SpaceX.
Starlink. Yeah. I mean, he has multiple companies that he's pioneered, if you will. But this is the second time I'm aware of where he's had a much anticipated interview session, Ray. Schedule. Governor Ron DeSantis announced his candidacy and the crash, and that they had major problems with the technologically with the interview getting started and so forth. And the same thing happened yesterday with Donald Trump. Now, he did say, Elon Musk, that you know, his servers were attacked. But I'm thinking, well, you can't let that happen. You know what I'm saying? And look good. Anyway, Ray, I just thought it was ironic.
Well, evidently somebody somewhere, and you can hypothesize who that might
be. Who's doing that?
Right. Somebody somewhere organized a directed denial of service attack. And so if you have thousands of these, I don't know. I can't explain the electronics.
No, go ahead and try. We'll wait.
Oh, please. All I know is they attacked the X servers and basically shut it down for 25 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody who didn't like Musk, or somebody who didn't like Trump, or somebody who didn't like...
Or both.
Didn't like both. But, you know, now Elon Musk, correct me if I'm wrong, he endorsed Trump, right?
Right.
Yes. After the attempted assassination, within a day or so, he not only came out and endorsed him because of the attempted assassination, but he went further and committed to $25 million a month in donation.
Did he really commit? Because one interview I saw said he didn't commit. Maybe he committed to giving to a PAC or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, a PAC.
A PAC supported.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
But listen, with respect, Ray, to Elon Musk, okay, he is endorsing Trump, and I here's the reason. I don't know that he – I don't know. I don't think he and Trump are necessarily close, but he understands what's at stake here in the direction of our country, Elon Musk does. He's a businessman.
So capitalist.
He came to America from South Africa. He's made his billions globally, yes, but with his companies based in the U.S. Sure. And he understands, he's a big believer in freedom of speech.
Yep.
And he sees the left, the political left in this country, wanting to seize and control everything corporately, business-wise, regulations, speech, and all these things. And because Musk hasn't always been he's not a quote traditional conservative. He says that he believes in the principles of Christianity, but he doesn't have a personal conversion story that I've heard. But he's a good person, and somebody who appreciates the place of the United States of America in the world today. So that's the reason he bought X. He didn't have to do that. He saved Some people would say he saved complete dominance in the social media sphere.
Right. Yeah.
By the lefties.
To your point here about
I had several points.
Yes. You mentioned phrases like freedom of speech and how Democrats want to seize and control everything. To your point, there was a moment in the White House press briefing yesterday to which the Washington Post reporter Cleve Woodson Jr. asked Karine Jean-Pierre whether the White House was considering or whether the White House could do something to prevent people from being able to hear Musk and Trump talk politics here. I'm not making it up. Clip 3.
Elon Musk is slated to interview Donald Trump tonight on X. I don't know if the president is going to tune in. Feel free to say if he is or not. But I think that misinformation on Twitter is not just a campaign issue. It's it's an America issue. What role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that or stopping the spread of that or sort of intervening in that? Some of that was about campaign misinformation, but it's a wider thing, right?
Yeah, no, and you've heard us talk about this many times from here about the responsibilities that social media platforms have when it comes to misinformation, disinformation. Don't have anything to read out from here about specific ways that we're working on it, but we believe that they have the responsibility. These are private companies, so we're also mindful of that too. Look, it is. I think it is incredibly important to call that out as you're doing. I just don't have any specifics on what we have been doing internally as it relates to the interviews. Not something that I'm tracking, and I'm sure the president's not tracking it either.
Now, ironically, guys, the Washington Post motto or slogan is democracy dies in darkness. This campaign, this White House administration is all about, quote, democracy and protecting democracy. And here you have a guy from a news outlet saying, what is the White House going to do to block people from listening to this?
Yeah. Well, and then Karine Jean-Pierre basically says, I'm not tracking it and I'm not keeping up with it. Mm-hmm. So how does she even know what it is?
That's very true. I didn't think about that.
Karine Jean-Pierre. I'm surprised she didn't say, let me be clear. I'm going to be clear, and I want to refer you to another agency.
Yeah. You're going to have to check with the FCC and FTC.
Yeah, she's. That's funny coming from her about misinformation.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing that the Washington Post, which is nothing more than a shill for the Democrats,
right,
that they are concerned about misinformation. It's rather shocking, I think, that somebody from, I mean, it is a prestigious newspaper, to actually in the White House at a press briefing say, what can you do to stop the misinformation? As if they're asking the White House to do something to shut down.
Let's hear the way he asked that question again. So what we're hearing is a reporter from the Washington Post.
Correct.
Which is still one of the most influential newspapers in the country.
Owned by Jeff Bezos.
Yes, but asking the White House press secretary this question. Go ahead and play that again real quick.
Elon Musk is slated to interview Donald Trump tonight on X. I don't know if the president is going to tune in. Feel free to say if he is or not. But I think that misinformation on Twitter is not just a campaign issue. It's a, it's an America issue. What role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that or stopping the spread of that?
Okay, stop that right there. That's dangerous, what he's suggesting.
And he's prefacing on I think that. Like,
well,
who cares
he said
what
misinformation, matter-of-factly. Let me just say this, because I do visit, the X is on my, it's an app on your phone.
For better or for worse.
Yeah,
well,
you got to... You could stay on there all day, every day.
Yeah, I know.
You zoned out because it's very, it's
informational.
It's very addictive,
sure,
in a way, in terms of the constant information. If you're an information junkie and news junkie, it's always coming your way on the Twitter feed. But let me just say this. Is there misinformation on Twitter? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a... Ray, it's like a smorgasbord. I mean, people who sign up from all over the world can post anything they want.
Right.
So I don't know exactly this fellow's – what is he getting at exactly here? Except it's politics. And what I hear him saying is, listen, We got somebody's got to stop Elon Musk.
That's what he means. That's exactly what he means.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and I thought if you pay attention, because most of the time there's exceptions. Most of the time it's the Democratic side. It's KJP and it's that group that says the other team, Republicans and other outlets are misinformation.
Misinformation. Mm-hmm. And they get to define what misinformation is.
Right. But listen to how – now, this one could take you completely off listening to the conversation, but try to count how many times – because I've done this before. Try to count how many times they say this is misinformation, and then they give you the information that they believe is true. More times than not, they don't even share with you their position. They just make sure that they want you to believe that that's misinformation. Mm-hmm. Because if you really believe that, then you would say this is wrong and this is right. They don't even tell you what they believe in their own eyes to be right. They just all they do is apply misinformation and then just talk in circles. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They don't even share their idea that they believe right.
Well, listen, all politicians lie.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to break it to you.
No way. When did that start?
I'm sorry, well, guys.
Yeah, and then
that's going to probably affect
no idea.
You.
And then some of the better of the best ones, they get. It gets,
no, Republicans, they can tell whoppers, too.
Well, I'm not saying Republicans can't. I'm thinking – I'm thinking about the one person out there, okay?
Who's that?
I don't know. There's got to be a conservative – there got to be an evangelical Christian conservative leader out there.
Who cares if they lie or not?
That cares. And I'm believing that sometimes in politics they get signed off on
– I know this is very
cynical. I'll stop now.
I know that's a very cynical view that I expressed there, that all politicians lie. Maybe they.
What about mislead?
They spin things.
Sure,
you could call it spinning. But the others. Here's a point. Even if they do lie, even if they do give out quote
for the public to discern that.
Yes, even if they do give out quote misinformation, you don't want to give one set. You don't want some board, Ray, somewhere set up by Democrat. Political operatives saying, okay, we're the misinformation board.
Right.
Hey, isn't that what's happening over there in the UK and in Europe?
Yes, yes.
They sent a threatening letter to Elon Musk.
Yes, they did.
Yesterday.
Yes.
Threatening him, you know, basically saying you can't put Donald Trump on or we may take you down in Great Britain, whatever.
Right.
I saw a little bit of that letter. That's pretty, to me, that's.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying
totalitarian. To. Totalitarian.
The party that promotes themselves as free thinkers and progressive and we're moving forward, they're the ones that are so scared of other people's ideas.
Right.
That they feel the need that they have to get involved in this case, suggest even potentially.
Well, also, Tim Walz, is that his name, the governor of Minnesota? Yep. He's the vice presidential candidate with Kamala Harris. Walz?
With a Z.
Like W-A-L-Z. Anyway. Yeah. You remember we had a quote on from him the other day where he said, you know, we ought to – I don't know if we still have that or not. He said – Tim Walz, he said – and this is before he was named her VP choice. Mm-hmm. This is a year or two ago. He said, yeah, we ought to he used the word push back against the idea that there's a First Amendment right to misinformation and hate speech. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. Well, guess who gets to decide that? He does.
Right.
And he gets to decide what hate speech is and whether it should be allowed and how it should be allowed. Mm-hmm. Well, that leads to what happens in the UK, what happens in Canada. Canada, they shut down free. You don't have absolute free speech in Canada.
Yep. Right.
It's not like the U.S.
Brad's talked about that on here.
So.
The most dangerous part about that is that freedom of speech ends up coming to freedom of action. That's the next step. If they can silence your thoughts, then your words, then that's
also if they get control in the U.S., if they get control by these secular progressives get total control of the licensing. Mm-hmm. Okay, television, radio stations, we have to have license from the Federal Communications Commission to be able to operate. Well, what if they get in control and they say, you know what, you say homosexuality is a sin according to the Bible. Well, guess what? That's hate speech, and we're revoking your license.
And that's what they've already done in Canada.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of the program here on the American Family Radio Network.
Tim, I've got an issue. I've got an issue. I'm tangled up here.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to take this off.
Your headset. Well, that's the headset Ed used yesterday that he didn't plug in.
Is that what happened?
Kind of metaphors for life.
Yeah. He was hacked.
You got an issue. Issues resolved.
You got issues. You're tangled up. You're not plugged in.
Do you think
there's a sermon there.
There it is. This problem solved. Can we solve some more problems in the news?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We don't solve problems in the news. We just tell you
about
the problem.
Just report them.
Your job is to make everybody feel bad, isn't it?
So then you're telling me that I just spread misinformation. There we go.
You should be banned. Yes.
Yeah, but I corrected myself. I feel like I did the right thing.
Let your conscience be your guide. Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City, and we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Joining us now is Jenna Ellis. Jenna is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning from 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio on this station. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. And my issue is usually that I have too many tabs open in my brain. So I don't, I need to figure out
some way
to control.
Yes.
Delete all and then focus on one thing.
There you go. too many tabs open in the brain. That'd be a country song or something like that, I think.
Well, that's better than walking in our IT department here on staff. And if they're listening I'm not saying anything
instead of
them to
your
their
microphone.
Face.
Right.
But when you walk in there,
dead on us here.
I can't think of one IT person here on staff that doesn't have 64, 66 tabs open right now on their computer.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're made different.
Yeah,
these people.
I have on my phone a total of 502 tabs open. Right
You're
now.
Lying.
No,
well,
I can.
You can screenshot it, right?
353
yep.
right now.
Yeah. No.
Yep.
Okay. Well, yep. Then you know what? You just want an opportunity to work for the IT department.
You don't want me
the
there.
First thing.
They,
okay.
Tech knows that I'm a girl.
Okay.
I'm convinced, and so yeah, they don't like me.
So then
all the tech.
So then outside the tabs, you really wouldn't fit in then.
Yes.
Okay.
So
all
true.
Right.
Okay, so Jenna, before the break, we were talking about I call them the secular left in this country, I guess, opposed to the religious left, and there is a religious left in this country, but they're really not just in this country. They are, as we saw the letter to Elon Musk from the European Commission. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jenna?
I do, yeah. And we talked about that this morning, actually, with the tech policy advisor from the Heritage Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so these people, by these people, I'm talking about these global elitists who are almost all, quote, progressives, and they're almost all secular, and they just detest anything conservative, anything Christian. They find that to be anything that promotes, really, freedom of speech, freedom of thought, a free country, you know, they maybe wouldn't necessarily say it like that out loud, but what is it about these folks that they want to control everything?
Well, I think that they're actually worse than secular, because that term really denotes attitudes or a worldview that have no specific religious or spiritual basis. These people absolutely do have a religion, and it's paganism. It is, and it's grounded in genuinely evil. And you see that with the rise of globalism and, you know, a country without borders, with tyranny, with this type of view that says that we can censor all speech that is, quote, misinformation or disinformation, that's basically doesn't fall in line with government propaganda. I mean, it's the same thing that the Chinese Communist Party is doing. It's the same thing that Mao did. I mean, it's the same thing that every tyrant that has pushed for communism has pushed. And this is now just in the new age of digital media. And so I think that we need to talk about worldview. And what I've been focusing on my show in the morning is talking about this contrasting worldview that you're seeing from Kamala Harris and the extreme radical left here in America, but you're seeing from the World Economic Forum, the global elites, people like the European Commission, that are specifically trying to create a leftist utopia in their own image, redefine reality, push queer theory, push all of these other things that basically deny truth. They deny Western civilization that was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview, and ultimately rejecting God in favor of a replacement for God, which tends to be a political regime that allows for overt satanic activity and ultimately paganism and the worship of false gods.
Right.
So, Jenna, let me ask you about last night. President Trump sat down with Elon Musk. A little rough start there for unexplained tech glitches, denial of service, Elon Musk said. But after a while, they finally got their conversation going. How did you, as a looking as a very interested observer, what do you think about what happened last night?
Well, two things. First, I thought the conversation itself, once it got going, was excellent. And I think yesterday was the best day that the Trump campaign has had since the debate with Joe Biden, where clearly the contrast was there. But I think for Trump, Donald Trump returning to X, which is a huge public square platform that allows for conservative content, is truly free speech. And then to have that just free form conversation with Elon, getting into a wide variety of issues, talking about the digital content and federal restraint and streamlining things, the economy, all of that was great and showed Trump's mastery of some of those issues. With respect to the 40-minute delay, this was kind of shades of the DeSantis campaign in the primary when he launched on X, and everybody say, oh, this was a failure to launch, and there were just a lot of glitches. I think that that while it could be that there was a cyber attack, and it could also just be that there were so many people overwhelming the space that wanted to tune in that it just overwhelmed the platform. The reality is that especially Congress in America, and especially governors and state legislatures, really need to look at digital platforms. They need to look at the cybersecurity, national security issues. They need to look at some of like the Digital Policy Act that Trump is pushing, and really ensure that we don't get to the place where we have that kind of cybersecurity attack on our power grid, for example. I mean, these are just shades of what could come if we're not actually serious about addressing national security issues beyond this so-called misinformation that the left wants to talk about. We have actual issues that Congress needs to address.
Talking to Jenna Ellis. Jenna, one more issue you comment on. I know you're a Floridian.
Proudly.
Proudly, the free state of Florida, as it's called.
Woohoo.
Tell me about this Amendment 4 that's going to be voted on in November. Is that a statewide referendum? What is that?
Yes, yeah, so it is. It will be on the ballot here in Florida. So if you are a Floridian, know the amendments. Amendment 3 and 4 are the worst things for Florida. 3 is to legalize recreational marijuana. Coming from Colorado, which used to be my home state, which was one of the first to pass Amendment 64 in that state, which just devastated so much of Colorado, and we're seeing what happens in California. We don't want to Californiaize our Florida, so vote no on that. But Amendment 4 is bad for Florida because essentially what this would do would override the heartbeat bill protections for restrictions and promoting life in regulating abortion on the state level. So what it would do, Amendment 4, so vote no on this, be from a policy value perspective, it would eliminate parental consent for minors seeking abortions and making abortion the only procedure a minor could get in the state without a parent's consent. It removes doctors from the decision-making. When people say, oh, it's between a woman and her doctor, it would just allow any so-called healthcare provider, including a chiropractor, I mean, including anybody really, to make that decision. And it would allow abortion in Florida up until the moment of birth and would invalidate all pro-life protections in state law. This is Soros and Planned Parenthood funded, and Florida is the test state for this now being a state issue in the wake of Dobbs. And if they can pass this, it's a 60% threshold in the state of Florida, but if they can pass this in a deeply red state that DeSantis mm-hmm. has marshaled very well, then they know that this type of plan would work in other states. So please, if you are voting in Florida, vote to protect life. Vote no on Amendment 4. Vote no on Amendment 3.
But hasn't similar things happened in Ohio and Kansas and Montana, and where they've had abortion on the state ballot?
Yeah, and that's really, you know, in the midst of legislatures now having the ability to legislate in the wake of Dobbs' decision, a lot of what the pro-state-funded abortion-on-demand activists are doing is now bringing these state referendums. And what they're doing is very sinister as well, because the language is so convoluted and vague that if you're not aware of which way you should vote, then it's very confusing. And a lot of people in Ohio in particular were confused about that language, thought they were voting for one thing, and actually voted for something else. A lot of the exit polls showed.
Yeah, now the good thing about the Florida situation, about the Amendment 4 and Amendment 3, as you mentioned, I can't imagine just having recreational. Florida is such a family-friendly vacation.
Atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, so many people in the country want to go to Florida to vacation with their families.
Family
I'm
trips.
Talking about it's really not long, like it's not like party central necessarily, unless it's spring break in Fort Lauderdale or something like that. But I can't imagine just being able to have people out on the beach smoking dope. I mean, that's just seems to me crazy for the image of your state. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be rejected. But this Amendment 4, at least the threshold is 60%, right?
Yes, and okay. That's encouraging.
Okay, and so one other thing here, then, Wesley, I promise I'll give you three or four.
I've got a question.
Oh, you got four words coming to you, okay? You just hold them.
I'll go over here and think about them.
All right, so what's led to this statewide ballot initiative, I think, is this. Maybe a year and a half ago or so, the Florida State Legislature passed a six-week heartbeat bill is what they call it. And that is to say, and Governor Ron DeSantis signed it. And what it was if you can detect a heartbeat of a baby at 6 weeks, then that's obviously a human life. Obviously, a human life, it's got a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And therefore, is protected in the state of Florida. That's the essence of the heartbeat bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be decided by the state of Florida. You want to keep that, or you just want to have abortion on demand up to the full 9 months? That's what's at stake here with this vote coming up in November. Now, former President Trump, Jenna, where does he stand on this? He's a Floridian.
He is, and he was asked in his press conference last week how he intends to vote on this, and he did not give a direct answer. He said that would be forthcoming, and then clarified that it would probably be a lot more liberal than people anticipate. He's been saying since Dobbs that this is a state issue. And interestingly, some of the members of Congress who are Republican from the state of Florida, like Byron Donalds, for example, have not specifically said where they stand either and just keep saying, well, this is a state issue. And last time I checked, Florida's a state. This is now becoming a state issue. It's on the ballot in the state. And so my hope is that when Donald Trump does actually address the question and says how he intends to vote as a Florida resident, that he would stand firmly for life and at the very least see that Amendment 4 is radically extreme because of removing the parental consent. I mean, so many of those things, even if he sticks with opposing the heartbeat bill like he unfortunately did, Amendment 4 is not the solution to that, even for moderates. So that's what I hope, and I would really hope that people would implore Trump and the Trump campaign to take a very hard stance opposing Amendment 4.
All right, Jenna. Thanks for joining us. Who do you have on tomorrow? Do you have a guest? Are you gonna...
Thanks so much. You know, we haven't quite booked out the show yet, so it'll be a surprise. But we know that Todd and Copper will be there.
Todd and Copper, two dudes.
The two dudes will be there. And we always appreciate everyone who writes in and says hi to them, and they always say hi back. So.
All right. Take care, Jenna. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Jenna Ellis. Wesley, you're on the clock.
Okay, I only get four words.
No. I'm gonna double that. You got 8 words, and you got 12 seconds. Go.
You got the clock.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I know you are. Well, with the 4 words I've got, this would completely take us off track here, but I haven't been able to do it this week yet, and it's, what is it, Monday?
Tuesday.
I want Walker.
You just took us off track, not knowing what day it was, but go ahead.
It's Wednesday in Australia.
Walker, you are wrong. That's my brother, and okay. That's the 4 words I got, and I'll hand it off to you. I just got to get that in. If I get to choose 4 words, I just want to let Walker know he's wrong.
Okay.
Whatever it is,
it doesn't matter.
It was his fault.
You know, I'm naturally curious being the news guy. Yeah. Like, now I'm going to have to do a deep dive and figure out what that's about.
Yeah, well, so I can give a little bit.
You got to comment on something Jenna was saying or something?
Well, I was going to ask her a question, but she's not with us anymore.
Well, I can answer for her. Go ahead.
I was going to ask her, so what happens here in the event that this does fail, which hopefully, Lord willing, conservatives will get out and vote, and we vote no, and Amendment 4 fails in Florida. If that's the case, does what's on the books now currently, and would that just remain in place?
It stands. Yeah. Yeah, if the Amendment 4 is rejected, did she say vote no or yes?
She said vote no. I'm looking at it right here.
She said vote no. So if less than 60% vote yes, then the law will stand.
Right.
The heartbeat law will stand, and you know.
Okay, that's the answer. The heartbeat law stays. So nothing changes. It just.
I appreciate the fact that in Florida they have a 60% threshold, because listen, our country. And nationally and then the state level, we're not a democracy. We're a form of democracy in the sense that if you want to define democracy, Ray, as a representative form of government, if that's the way you define democracy, yes. But we're not a true democracy. We don't vote on everything. You don't go down to the city. You don't go down to your voting precinct every Tuesday and vote on whether they're going to pick up trash on 3 days a week or 2 days a week, and the majority wins.
50.1%.
We don't do that. No, we elect people to represent us at a state, local, national level who then make decisions on behalf of the public. And if the public agrees with enough of their decisions, they'll be reelected. If not, they'll be voted out. So we're a constitutional republic that is a representative form of government. We're not, quote, a true, you know, straight-up democracy. So hopefully and prayerfully the amendments in Florida, Ray, will stand. The amendments, but the law as it currently
exists. On one hand, you think this is the state that elected Ron DeSantis, right? A great conservative leader. How could this happen? But look, we saw what happened in Ohio, mm-hmm. right here in Kansas. I think we were maybe the first state.
Now, that was 50% threshold, right? I don't think that was 60.
That's right. 60 is a high percentage. Yeah. And Ron DeSantis is outspoken
in
his pro-life convictions. I think, Tim, if the Christians in Florida come out and vote, and vote as Christians should, this thing will be defeated.
All right. I just fact-checked Dad. You got fact-checked, and you are correct. Jenna's listening. She texted in and said that you are correct.
Yeah.
Heartbeat bill stands.
If they defeat the amendment.
That's right. Yeah. I just want you to know you were right.
Okay. Well, I get that a lot.
not to fact check the ball, so that was too far there.
All right.
Hey, I will point out, if you go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, I have posted the Ballotpedia link about Florida to the Facebook page. Also, keep looking through our posts, because Florida is one of several states voting somehow one way or another on abortion or abortion-related issues this November. Other states are Colorado, Maryland, New York, Nevada, or Nevada, if you're of that persuasion, as well as South Dakota. And it'll explain all of what they're voting on and how and whatnot. So if you are listening to us from, let's say, for example, the great state of South Dakota, you'll get that information that matters to you.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues, the name of the program on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray, what's your next story, Chris?
Well, we have talked a lot about Vice President Kamala Harris and how people are treating her, specifically those on the left, in mainstream media or in public offices, but certainly the mainstream media. Clearly, they would rather have Vice President Harris than former President Trump. It's down to like Time Magazine. They've got a big cover story of her. It's being branded the reintroduction of Vice President Harris. Time Magazine, for example, has this big cover story. Didn't even interview her for it. It's a complete puff piece. That's just one example.
Put her on the cover and didn't even
correct.
Interview her?
Very true. Very correct. But I've got some audio here from Outkick host Tommy Lahren on the media treatment of Vice President Harris. Clip 4.
Well, Todd, I think you stole the words right out of my mouth, because the media is doing all the work for Vice President and now candidate Kamala Harris, and she doesn't even have to give them anything in return. She doesn't even have to give them an interview. She doesn't have to answer questions. She doesn't have to interact with them at all. They're happy to put her face on the cover of this magazine, write great things about her, even acknowledging that she won't speak to them. So obviously the media is in the can for Kamala Harris. They're usually in the can for most Democrat candidates. But really what this is about is that Kamala Harris is not Donald Trump, and they want to see anybody but Donald Trump. They haven't liked her for the last 4 years. They haven't written great things about her, though. They've tried on numerous occasions to revamp her. They've really kind of put her on the shelf for several years. But now they have resurrected her.
One example of media clearly wanting her rather than him is the Associated Press, which is a news outlet every news outlet runs somehow, some way. This is the headline from an Associated Press article. It's an op-ed, but it's disguised as a news article. Their headline is, Harris is pushing joy. Trump paints a darker picture. And then they include a picture of, like, angry Trump with smiling Harris. And news outlets all over the place run this stuff. And that's why people go, well, she seems nice.
Go ahead, Ray. You want to comment on that?
You know, we talked about this over the years, Tim. We've talked about going back to my days here with you at 2012, 2016, 2020. Right. We talked about the fact that the media is in the tank for the Democrats. I'll tell you what seems different to me this time around. Not only are they in the tank for Kamala and the whole Democrat left-wing thing, they are doing it shamelessly. Now they're putting their thumb on the scale, and it's as if they're just – smiling at the rest of the country, going, see, we're trying to cheat for the Democrats, and they're not even trying to cover up their bias.
So
that's what's
called
changed,
like interfering with the election. Mm-hmm.
Kind of. Yeah.
Well, you know, I remember to your point, Ray, about the national media, at least traditionally, being overwhelmingly Democrat. I remember reading a survey of White House reporters, those who cover the White House, and 90% of them identified as liberal Democrats. Mm-hmm. This was during Clinton's presidency. I'm talking, you're going to about go back, what, 25 years or more? So yeah. That hasn't changed because those people hire their, maybe it's changed here and there, but the mainstream liberal, some call it the legacy media, they hire their own. They're not going to hire a traditionalist or a conservative. Mm-hmm. They're just because they think that they're
or libertarian.
Fascist, mm-hmm. Is the way they would describe it. So, thankfully, there are alternative media sources out there in our country today. Now, some on the left would like to squash those.
Sure. Talked about that first segment.
Yeah. But, all right, there's some other things I wanted to say, but guess what? The clock stops for no man. And so we're going to break right here for news, and then we'll be back in 5 minutes with Steve Paisley-Jordahl. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
So Ray, Wesley, and yours truly will be back in 5 minutes.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.